Please be seated. Good morning. How are you all? This morning's sermon passage is Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 39. I'd invite you to turn there with me. Romans 8, reading from verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may you teach us to pray. Help us to pray. Give us the strength to pray. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So why don't we pray? That is our topic this morning. And the thing about this topic, it assumes that we're not praying. Or at the very least, that we're not praying enough. We're not praying like we should be. Last week, Hilton admitted that he struggles with prayer. And this week, it is my turn to admit that I too struggle with prayer. In fact, even a man of God like Billy Graham makes the same admission. In an interview on Fox News, the great evangelist was asked, "If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?" To which he answered, "Yes, I would study more and I would pray more." In the Bible, we find passages telling us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, to devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, to be faithful in prayer, to pray continually. But the reality is, if we're honest with ourselves, when it comes to prayer, all of us struggle. All of us have room for improvement. Even the Billy Grahams, even the Hilton Jordans of this world, need to grow in their prayerfulness. I don't know why they were laughing. So as Christians, we're meant to pray, right? That's what we looked at last week. Yet so often, we fail to pray. And the question is, why? Well, to help answer that question, I did what all good preachers do. I consulted Facebook and asked my friends. Now, I know that that is too small for you to read, but at the very least, you can see that there are many reasons, a whole list of reasons why we don't pray. But if you want the simple answer, the short answer to why we don't pray, here it is. It comes from Philip Jensen and Tony Payne in their book, Prayer and the Voice of God. I quote, "A simple answer to why we find prayer difficult might be because we are sinful, hard-hearted fools, and that would be true enough. So why don't we pray? Because we're sinful, hard-hearted fools." Now that's putting it bluntly, isn't it? But a little bit further on, they make an additional point, and it's a very important one. They say, we fail to pray primarily because of our sin and because the enemy does not want us to pray. Why don't we pray? Why can prayer be so difficult for us? Because of our sin and because of Satan. Because of the enemy within us and the enemy outside us. These two enemies actively hinder our prayer lives. This is the simple and short answer to our question. But the problem with this answer is that it lacks detail. It doesn't get into the specifics of how sin and Satan affect our prayer. So just imagine with me for a minute that you're really sick and you've gone to visit the doctor. And as the doctor hears your problems, he responds this way. Your problem is that you are sick. And that's because humans are the kind of animals that get sick. Now, what the doctor has told you is indeed true, but it's not very helpful as far as getting a treatment is concerned, is it? A more specific diagnosis is necessary if you are going to get better. Well, our prayer lives are sick. They're not healthy as they could be or should be. It's because we are sinful and because we have an enemy named Satan. But on a more practical level, what would be a more helpful diagnosis? Something that will actually help us to treat our problem, our sickness? Well, I've asked questions, I've read books, I've done research, and I think I can diagnose four health problems for our prayer lives. Four critical issues that are affecting the health of our prayer lives and preventing us from praying like we should. Do you want to know what those problems are? Ah, good. I got a better response than the 8:30 service. I'm going to tell you anyway. Here they are. We have bad beliefs, fickle feelings, wayward wills, and poor practices. This is why we don't pray. This is why we don't pray like we ought to. We have bad beliefs, fickle feelings, wayward wills, and poor practices. So briefly, we're going to look at each one of these. And your job this morning is to give your prayer lives a checkup, to put yourselves through a spiritual examination to see which of these issues is harming your prayer life and harming the health of your prayer life at the moment. Which of these issues you need treatment for. So firstly, we don't pray because we have bad beliefs. Our prayer life suffers when we're infected with unbiblical ways of thinking. Maybe we're suffering from false or distorted views about God. God doesn't hear my prayers. My prayers are usually small and insignificant, and he's probably busy off ruling the universe. And if he does hear them, he doesn't seem to be answering my prayers. Maybe he doesn't love me. Maybe he's ignoring me. Maybe my prayers are actually too big for him to do anything about them. On the other hand, we could be suffering from a false or distorted view about ourselves. I don't need to pray. I'm going fine without prayer. I mean, there aren't any real bad consequences when I don't pray, are there? And I'm not in any trouble. I don't need help for anything. I'm all good. Life's good. So I'll tell you what. I will pray when I need to. But for now, I'm happy without praying and without God. We get these bad beliefs when we believe the lies of our sin and Satan. We start believing the lies that attack God's character and his promises about prayer. We start believing the lies of our own sinful pride that puff us up and say that we don't need God's help. We're independent. We're self-sufficient. The problem is, these views are like undiagnosed tumors that sap the strength out of our prayer lives. If deep down, we don't believe that God is able or willing to answer our prayers, then prayer does not seem effective or helpful. We think to ourselves, what is the point of praying if it's not going to change anything anyway? On the other hand, if deep down we believe that we don't need God's help, then prayer is no longer necessary or urgent. We think to ourselves, I'm fine on my own. Brothers and sisters, if our prayer life is diagnosed with bad beliefs, there is a remedy. We must stop listening to the lies of our sin and Satan and start listening to the truth of God's word. We must cut out our bad beliefs and replace them with biblical beliefs. Only then will our prayer lives begin to flourish. The second diagnosis for why we don't pray is that we have fickle feelings. Our prayer life inevitably suffers when it relies on our feelings and our moods. And that is because our feelings are inconsistent. They go up and they go down like a yo-yo. Our mood changes from day to day, from hour to hour. And there will be times, many times, when we don't feel like praying. I feel too spiritually dry to pray. I'm tired, I'm stressed, I'm depressed, I'm discouraged, I'm hot. Now is not the time to be praying. I feel too bitter to pray. I'm full of self-pity, resentment, unforgiveness, and my heart is hardened towards prayer. I feel too ashamed to pray because of all the sin in my life. Instead of going to him for forgiveness, we try and hide from God like Adam and Eve in the garden. The reality is our prayer lives are weakened when we start trusting our feelings. Because the danger, the temptation, is that we pray only when we feel like it. But if our sin and Satan have anything to say, we'd never be praying because sin and Satan are constantly feeding us negative feelings. So, brothers and sisters, we're never going to have a healthy prayer life if we rely on our fickle feelings, if we put our trust in our mood. So the remedy we need is this: to stop trusting in our mood and start trusting in Jesus. To stop putting our faith in our feelings and start putting our faith in Jesus. If we want a healthy prayer life, we don't pray just because we feel like it. We pray whether we feel like it or not. We pray because we have put our faith in Jesus. We pray because we are his disciples. The third diagnosis for why we don't pray is that we have wayward wills. Our prayer lives become malnourished because we make the wrong choices and bad decisions. We know we're meant to pray, but instead, for many reasons, we choose not to. We're too busy to pray. We're content with mediocrity. We're lazy. We'd rather watch TV or be on Facebook. We'd rather be doing anything else other than praying to our God. In short, we have weak and wayward wills. And rather than feeding our prayer lives, We give in to the temptation of our sin and Satan instead, and we choose disobedience rather than prayer. Brothers and sisters, if the remedy for our fickle feelings is our faith in Jesus, the remedy for our wayward wills is the repentance of sin. The turning away from our sin, turning away from our laziness, our busyness, our mediocrity, and turning to God. Turning to Him for forgiveness and help. Turning to an obedient life of prayerful dependence on Him. As we do this, new life will be injected into our prayer lives. And the final diagnosis for why we don't pray is that we have poor practices. Our prayer life is chronically sick because of a persistent lack of self-control and discipline. We don't pray because we forget, because we fall asleep, because we daydream, because we get distracted, because we have a short attention span, because we end up just repeating ourselves over and over again and we get bored of it. Because we don't know what to pray for, because we don't know how to pray, because we don't make plans to pray and hope that it just happens. We spend more time each year planning our holiday than we do planning to pray. We don't pray because we have persistent, poor, pathetic prayer practices. And that's just the way that our enemy Satan wants it. The reality is, if you want a healthy body like the one that stands before you this morning, I'm pausing for laughter. Thank you. It was a bit slow, but thank you. If we want healthy bodies, we need to eat well and exercise, don't we? We need to change our habits. We need discipline and self-control, and we need to work at it. Well, it's the same if we want a healthy prayer life. You don't just randomly drift into one. It takes work, hard work. So if the health of your prayer life is suffering because of poor practices, here's the remedy. Start developing new, healthy habits. Discipline, self-control, perseverance, planning. Exercise your prayer life and stretch yourself in prayer. Build up your prayer muscles and increase your capacity to pray. Start praying more often. Start praying longer. Start praying with more people. Start praying for more things. Or if that's too much too soon, just start praying. There are no shortcuts to a healthy prayer life. You need to trade in your poor practices for healthy habits. So in review, we don't pray because of our sin and because of Satan. The enemy within us, which stops us from praying, and the enemy outside of us, who stops us from praying. And we've looked at the four main ways that sin and Satan stop us from praying. Through our bad beliefs, our fickle feelings, our wayward wills, and our poor practices. The remedy, the treatment for our unhealthy and sick prayer lives, you need to stop believing the lies of your sin and Satan and start believing the truth of God's word. Stop putting faith in your feelings and start putting faith in Jesus. Stop disobeying God through your failure to prayer and start repenting of your sin and start praying. Stop accepting poor practices as the norm and start introducing new healthy habits like self-control, discipline, and planning. Brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, we do not have any excuses for our failure to pray. Yes, we have these two great enemies in our sin and Satan, but we must remember that sin and Satan have been defeated. This is what we find in Romans 8, our passage for this morning. We finally got there. In case you're wondering, this was just the introduction to my sermon, and I'm going to start preaching now. That was a joke. Everyone calm down. It's true. We have two great enemies in sin and Satan. But Romans 8 tells us that we have God on our side. And if God is for us, who can be against us? It goes on to say that God did not even spare his own son, Jesus Christ, but gave him up for us to die on a cross for us and for our salvation. And if God has already done this, how will he not also graciously give us all things? And it's true, sin and Satan condemn us for our disobedience to pray. But Romans 8 tells us that God is the one who justifies us. It tells us that Jesus, raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father, is interceding on our behalf, despite what our sin and Satan might be saying. And it's true. Our sin and Satan often succeed in stopping us from praying. But despite this, Romans 8 tells us that they will never be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8 tells us that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through Christ our Lord. So Romans 8 settles it for us. Sin and Satan do not get the last word. God has the last word. If the simple problem to why we don't pray is sin and Satan, the simple answer, the simple solution to why we don't pray is Jesus. Thanks to Jesus, we can pray. We should pray. We must pray. So let's pray.